How does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth was shocked, surprised, but overflowing with holy excitement that the Lord, the Messiah, the King of Kings, was coming to her. She knew 90 miles was not a short distance when you went by foot, and it was dangerous. You had to pass, when you leave Nazareth, you have to pass through Samaria, and Samarians were not friendly with the Jewish people, either those to the north of them in Nazareth or those near Jerusalem where Elizabeth lived. How does this happen to me? Elizabeth wonders. King David similarly exclaimed, "How can this happen to me that the Ark of the Lord should come to me?" Remember, the Ark of the Lord had been taken by the Philistines, and then they captured the Ark of the Covenant because it was, when it was with the Israelites, they would win in battle. So they went and they were able to capture it and take it. But when they took it to themselves, because they didn't honor and worship the Lord within the Ark, it brought them the opposite of blessings. So they gave it back, and then David comes and brings it. And he danced before the Lord with joy as he led the procession carrying the Ark of the Lord in Jerusalem. Just as John the Baptist were told when Mary and the Lord in her womb arrive, he danced for joy in his mother's womb, and his mother Elizabeth recognized it wasn't just Mary coming to visit her. It was the Mother of God. It was the King of Kings. It was the Messiah. It was the one that had been waited all of history, the one who would change all of history, that was coming to her. Elizabeth's husband regains his voice, which he lost because he didn't believe the angel who said that this child of his would be the one who would be the forerunner, John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord. But then his voice returns as soon as the baby is born. And he says in the great canticle of Zechariah that whoever prays morning prayer with the church, Lods always says the canticle of Zechariah, and in it are these words: "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people, who has visited his people and set them free." The visiting of us by God, that's the great mystery that our hearts were made for, that we long for, and we usually don't think will happen to us. I remember when I went to see my pastor when I was in the senior in high school, it had taken me months to work up the courage to tell him I thought God might be calling me to be a priest. And when I said to him, "You know, Father, I think maybe God's calling me to be a priest," he said, "Your brother would make a good priest." We don't expect how God comes to us, right? Or the chosen ones of God. But we're told in the very second sentence of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, this great treasure trove for the Church's teaching, in paragraph 1, the second sentence says this: "In every time and in every place, God draws near to each man and woman." That's true for Anthem. It's true every single hour of every day. In every time and every place, God draws near to his people. That's what was happening for Elizabeth, today's gospel account. Mary was coming, but she was coming as the Mother of God. And she came because, remember when the angel told Mary that she had been chosen from all women? "Blessed are you among women," Elizabeth says. She'd been chosen among women to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the King of Kings, the mother of the Lord. When she did that, Mary was told, "And your cousin, Elizabeth, is already in her sixth month, for nothing's impossible with God. So Mary hastens to visit, even though it's 90 miles. That was an incredibly dangerous and arduous task to get there. We're told all the way through the Gospel of Luke, and of course he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, about all these visits that happen, or the ones that are not received. For example, remember when Jesus raised back to life the dead son of the widow of Nain? Jesus is approaching this little town of Nain, and as he approaches, there's this funeral procession coming out, and there's a widow whose only child has died. And he approaches the widow. And after he raised the son to life and gave him back to his mother, this is what we're told the people said. God has visited his people. He's come to his people. He's visited us. And then when Jesus makes the long journey to Jerusalem, and as you know, Luke's gospel is the one gospel that has this constant kind of created tension in the narrative. From chapter 9, about verse 51, it says, he set his face toward Jerusalem. And everything after that is done in relationship to his going to Jerusalem, because that's where he's going to die on the cross and rise to transform human history and to redeem every human person, so that through his body, the church, he can visit us and come to us as he came to Mary, body and blood, to live within us. But as he arrived at Jerusalem, after that journey, so we get all the way to, where is it? Chapter 21, I think, of Luke's gospel. And we're told that the city of Jerusalem would be demolished because Jesus says, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. That's the great danger that every one of us has, because we're free to either accept Jesus when he comes to us or to turn away. God made each one of us for a loving personal relationship with him. He's creator, but even more important, he wants us to call him Father. And he wants us to recognize ourselves as beloved sons and daughters, no matter where we may have wandered. Today, he wants each of us, no matter what we may have weighing on our heart and our mind or soul, that he wants us to recognize who we are, that we're a beloved son of his, a beloved daughter of his. When Jesus taught us to pray the prayer, when the apostle said, teach us to pray, he didn't teach the people to say, our creator, although it's true, say, our Father. That's who he wishes to be for us always. And so every visitation that he makes to his people, whether he comes within the womb of Mary, or he comes to us through the sacrament of the Eucharist, or through confession, or whatever way, in marriage, between the love of husband for wife, or wife for husband, in every one of those, he comes to strengthen even more the bond of love and goodness and beauty and truth. God designed us that way. However, through the sin of Adam and Eve, God's design, his plan, got shattered by that terrible sin. And then our sins shatter as well, so that we begin to think, because we see society broken by sin, and then we make our own darkness by our sins, we begin to think that God is distant from us and he doesn't desire, he wouldn't want to come near us, even though Jesus will do everything he can to show us that he leaves the 99 behind and goes in search of the one who's lost, the one who needs to be found. So the more we sin, the more God seeks us out, because he's a father, he's full of mercy. It was no accident that Mary hastened to Elizabeth. That was what Elizabeth needed. And she didn't need it, even though she needed it somewhat. She didn't need it primarily because she was beyond the age of bearing children, and by a miracle, she was now with child. Mary went there and helped in that way, but what Elizabeth needed was to encounter the beloved Son of God who was present there in that house for those months in Mary's womb. And that's why Elizabeth cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Who am I that the mother of my Lord, that my Lord should come to me? Who are we that the mother of the Lord should come to us? And why? And who does he want us to travel difficult miles? Miles measured by distance, or perhaps miles measured by someone who's wandered far from in mind and heart from family or from God himself. What Mary did for Elizabeth, Elizabeth needed. She needed to meet the Lord. She needed to dance with joy because the Lord was there, as she did. And she saw that because her own child in the womb that she had waited so long and thought then she couldn't possibly have dances for joy. Mary brought Elizabeth what every human heart desires, what we were made for. And any person who doesn't open their heart to receive Jesus will never be able to dance for joy in their heart. We can't. We're made by God. We're his creatures. We're made for a relationship with him of love. In him we have truth and goodness and beauty. I have to thank you for that opening song about the light. That was so beautiful. Thank you. It put us all in the mood for preparing our hearts for the visit of Christ as the light was being led up and then the candles were lit. That helps us to believe that we were made for the light, but we walk in darkness. Sometimes the Lord just allows that to challenge us. We're actually doing his will, but we don't know exactly what's happened, why this could be the case, or whatever it is. My dear sons and daughters in Christ, even though I don't know why it was on my schedule and Father Bing didn't know it was, it's not an accident that I'm here today. It's not an accident that all of you are here today. Every moment of our life is part of God's providence. And even when we do things to mess it up, he doesn't go away. He draws nearer in every way he can because he's a loving father. You and I were made to be in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We were made to have a sense of awe and wonder when we come into the church because the King of Kings is here. The Lord is here. That's why I was so delighted when I walked in today and saw how beautiful you keep this sanctuary. All of this tells us someone is here who desires to visit our heart and soul. God created every one of us to have this deep, special relationship with him. Never let go of that hope, that truth of faith. When we discover this good news and when the Lord comes to live within us, then let us, like Mary, be ready to be the person who, by visiting others, Christ living in us, will help them delight in God's love for them.